Well, we're on our final parable that we're going to be doing on our series at the Master's Feet. Maybe down the road we might, redo it because there's so many of the parables. This is our last one in this current series, and it's all about the lost sheep. And it's found in Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, and be reading verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muted, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God's holy word to us this morning, the parable of the lost sheep, and it has been called the simplest of all the parables. The only trouble is, sometimes things that are very simple are also at the same time very profound. And I soon found myself carried out beyond my depth by this simplest of all the parables. There is so much here for us. It's unbelievable. It's a picture that would be familiar to anyone who's ever visited the Middle East. Certainly in the time of Jesus, the folks would recognize this image. Sheep and shepherds are everywhere. They were everywhere, and in that part of the world, the shepherd always led the flock and has either a helper or a dog at the rear to gather up the stragglers. He leads them to still waters. He leads them to the green grass. He counts them continuously, and he becomes so familiar with his flock. He knows them as individuals, as we might know individual persons whom we are very familiar with. And so the care that he had for the one sheep that was lost, any one of the ones lost would have been very special for him. And in this parable, that beautiful image of picking this lamb up and carrying it on his shoulders, we've probably all seen pictures of that, and I understand that when a sheep is lost, it doesn't know anything to do but just stay where it is, and it's useless. It can't do anything until it's found, and if it's not found, it dies. So the shepherd found the sheep, and when he came home, he called his friends and neighbors. He says, "It's party time. Let's have a party. I found my sheep, which was lost." And we need to remember all of the parables are about the reign of God. In every story that Jesus told, he is telling us something about the reign of God and trying to change our lives so that we move closer into our relationship with God. So, what then is he saying in this parable? One level, it is very simple. He is telling us that the reign of God is the source of the most powerful, incredible love. It will take your breath away when you think about it. That the God who rules, the God who reigns, the God who wants to give us life, loves us the way a shepherd loves his lost sheep. God looks for us. God keeps looking for us. God keeps coming until God finds us. And then there's a party. There's rejoicing in heaven. The angels of God rejoice when we are found. When we live under the reign of God, we make contact with the source of love. This incredible source of love. It is so incredible that it is very hard to describe it. That's the problem. It's hard to put into words. So the biblical writers use images of various kinds. And one of the most familiar image is that of the shepherd. The good shepherd. The loving, caring shepherd. The New Testament word to describe the relationship that the shepherd has toward his flock is grace. And we talked about that last week. Grace. It's that kind of overflowing, super abundant love which the shepherd has for his sheep. And if you think about it for a moment, and you realize that this is not an image Jesus invented. It's in the Bible from the very beginning. I don't think I've ever had too many memorial services when somewhere along the way, someone in the family has not requested the 23rd Psalm. It is the most familiar. It's probably the most beautiful. It's one of the most comforting of all the Psalms. And the 23rd Psalm begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yes. I shall not want. The other day, someone, I might have shared this with you, I'm not sure, but someone shared with me an American Indian version of the 23rd Psalm. I want you to enjoy this as we move into this image that Jesus uses in the parable to tell us something about God and our relationship with God and the love of God that is available to us. Listen to this. It is most amazing. "The great Father above, a shepherd chief, is. I am his, and with him I want not. He throws out to me a rope, and the name of the rope is love. And he draws me to where the grass is green and the water not dangerous. And I eat and lie down, and I'm satisfied. Sometimes my heart is very weak and falls down, but he lifts me up again and draws me into a good road. His name is wonderful. Sometime, it may be very soon, it may be a long, long time, he will draw me into a valley. It is dark there, but I'll be afraid not. For it is in between those mountains that the shepherd chief will meet me, and the hunger I have in my heart all through this life will be satisfied. Sometimes he makes the love rope into a whip, but afterwards he gives me a staff to lean upon. He spreads a table before me with all kinds of food. He puts his hand upon my head, and all the tired is gone. My cup he fills till it runs over. What I tell you is true. I lie not. These roads that are way ahead will stay with me through this life, and afterwards I will go to live in the big teepee and sit down with their shepherd chief forever." That's a beautiful rendition of the 23rd Psalm, an American Indian version of the 23rd Psalm. That is the image that we have in this parable that Jesus is giving us. And it appears in the prophets also. When the prophet Isaiah is trying to describe the Messiah and what the Messiah will be like, he says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." And of course, Jesus himself in John's gospel says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep." So this parable is following in this strong biblical tradition. Here is the image. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know how God is towards us, then think about the image of a shepherd. And in this parable, especially, the shepherd who keeps looking for the lost sheep finds the lost sheep, brings the lost sheep home, and has a party. Celebrating. So glad. So full of joy that the lost has been found. Our spiritual journey, indeed our life's journey, will take many twists and turns and ups and downs, but the absolute bedrock truth, the absolute fundamental basis for making sense out of our life, out of our journey, is to know that God is like this. To know that God is gracious. To know that amazing grace is the source of our life, of our hope, and that everything depends on this. That God is like this shepherd. And if we could only hear this. Many of us have been hearing it all our lives, and we've never heard it. We've never really heard it. I get so excited to know that God's like this. When we hear this, really hear this, it begins to penetrate and permeate our being. We can hardly keep from dancing and from shouting, from rejoicing. I mean it. It's not without reason that the parable ends with a party. It's been fortunate. I have been so fortunate over the years to receive letters from people who have been able to trust the grace this way. I wanted to share a few with you. Reverend Trumbo, your message on freedom in Jesus Christ has been a special blessing to me, and as I am one of those who grew up in a legalistic church and wound up before giving up religion altogether, a self-loathing hypocrite. A few years ago, I came to Wesley Church, and for days, I couldn't get your words out of my mind that God loves me. God accepts me, and all I have to do is accept His love. Well, I accepted Him finally, and praise God, my life is a whole new ball game. I love that. I love that image, the new ball game. That's a good way to describe the party. The party. A ball game. Dear Reverend Trumbo, I thought I was a Christian, and when I started attending your church, I heard about grace. I realized that you had something I didn't have, and I decided I wanted this more than anything else in the world. I could never find enough words to tell you what I feel right now. Tears of relief and release gushed forth from my soul today as you talked about the Gospel of John, and I realized that now I know what you're talking about. God loves me, even me, and His love is perfect and eternal. I could go on and on and on, and she does, really. It's really a wonderful letter, a lot of it, and it's underlined and exclamation points. There's that excitement I was talking about. One more. Dear Reverend Trumbo, for many months I have been meaning to write you on the tremendous impact that your worship services has meant to me over the past year. Without hesitation, your sermons have played a very significant part in my personal spiritual growth. It was just about a year ago, and one of your sermons on Christ Jesus opened my mind to the resounding truth that a right relationship to Him is literally what gives meaning to life. You cannot imagine how real this revelation was to me. From this moment of truth came genuine surrender, something I had never before experienced. You see, that's what we're talking about here, that genuine surrender, that trust, trusting the grace. I have learned through trial and error, she goes on to say, that changed attitudes come from a yielded, open life before God and not from futile human efforts. I have also learned God does guide us step by step if we will let Him. I've also learned how to love others in a whole new way. Thank you for the part you played in Wesley Church, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell you so. Well, these are a few samples of what we mean by trusting the grace. Just trusting it, accepting it. It's a whole new ball game. So the parable is inviting us to be with the lost sheep. So what part of you is feeling lost right now? Where are the areas of lostness in your life? Only you know that. Let yourself be found. Let yourself be caught up by the love. Let yourself be carried by the love back to the party. But there's one other thing that we need to do, and that is to identify for a moment with the 99. And this is where it gets very painful. It can get very painful. Because this has to do with twisting the grace, not trusting it, not trusting the grace, twisting the grace. The fact of the matter is, Jesus told this simple story against the Pharisees, the good church people of his time. The Pharisees had the grace for centuries. They had experienced the grace. The grace of God had been in the calling of Abraham 1,700 years before. And the grace of God had been in the liberation at the Red Sea under the leadership of Moses 1,200 years before that. But those who had a chance to live in it and experience it had twisted it and distorted it. So they couldn't stand to hear it coming out clear and true in Jesus. And so they killed him. They killed him. The church people killed Jesus. I mean, it's as simple as that. Sure, they had the Romans, you know, do the dirty work. But the Pharisees, the church people, were the ones who organized it all. And this is very difficult if we identify with the 99, the good people, the church people. Some of the best people I know, some of the best intended people I know, twist the grace. And I think it has something to do with the ego. Self-love, not a healthy kind of self-love, but the self-love that is so centered in self that it has to be in control. A woman was talking to a friend about her marriage and how her marriage works. And she said, "Well, my husband and I have one important thing in common. We're both in love with the same man." Well, that kind of self-love actually is not very good for a marriage. It's certainly not good in the kingdom of God. And I think what happens is that in order to enter into the kingdom of God, we need to give up that ego control. We need to welcome the grace of God. Let this ego self be burned out of us. Trusting grace. Or twisting the grace. Two places where we come out with this parable. Well, it all has to do with the love of God and letting ourselves be found, you know. Just rejoicing in that. And I'm just inviting you to be with that right now. To let yourself be found. And be picked up and carried and brought to the party. There was a beautiful story about a family that went camping. And they had a little three-year-old girl with her, 3 years old, named Kathy. Blonde, blue-eyed, beautiful girl. But she got lost. And they looked for hours. But finally they found her. She was down at the bottom of a ravine. And when they got home and was tucking her in the bed, They asked her if she knew that she was lost. She said, "Well, I wasn't lost, but I saw some bears that were lost." Well, it had been a very traumatic experience for her parents that you can imagine. Can you imagine what it would be like in those hours when this beautiful little girl was missing in the woods? Well, the father was the last one in the room with her. And as he left, she pulled herself up onto the bed and said, "Gee, Daddy, aren't you glad you found me? Oh, Kathy, if you only knew the joy in a father's heart and a mother's heart in finding a child who has been lost." But Jesus says, God is like that. Aren't you glad you found me? Amen.